Hello, and welcome to the QSE Academy podcast, the show where we break down ISO standards, accreditation, and compliance the way practitioners actually need to hear it. No theory, no fluff. Just what works, what costs what, and what your assessor is really going to ask. Today's episode covers one of the most important articles we've published this year for anyone running an inspection body. The title is ISO IEC 17020-2026 Accreditation, How Inspection Bodies Get It, Keep It, and What the 2026 Edition Changes. If you run an inspection body, if you're a quality manager, or if you sit anywhere inside the testing, inspection, and certification world, this one is for you. Let me walk you through it. Here is the situation. There are more than 15,600 accredited inspection bodies in the world right now. Every single one of them is operating under a standard that was officially withdrawn on the 27th of March, 2026. The new edition was published the same day. And here is the part most published guides do not say clearly. Not one major accreditor in the English-speaking world has actually opened the door to assess you against the new edition yet. The standard exists. The transition deadline is real. It is the 27th of March, 2029. But the assessment window is closed. So the question the article tackles is, what do you do for the next 4 to 9 months? First, the 2026 picture in numbers. And one quick note before we get into them. Some of you will have heard of ILAC, the International Laboratory Accreditation Cooperation, which used to publish these figures. ILAC and the IAF, the International Accreditation Forum, were dissolved on the 1st of January, 2026. They were replaced by a single unified body, the Global Accreditation Cooperation Incorporated, also known as GLOBAC. One organization, one mutual recognition arrangement, covering everything ILAC and IAF used to cover separately. So the figures we'll talk about now come from the final ILAC reporting cycles, and from the first GLOBAC numbers published in early 2026. Over 15,600 accredited inspection bodies operate under the unified mutual recognition arrangement now run by GLOBAC. The count grew about 20% over 24 months. This is a growing market, and the transition we are about to talk about touches every single body in it. The operational reality on the ground in May 2026. You cannot get assessed against the new edition by UCAS, ANAB, A2LA, IAS, SCC, or NATA. Not one of them. UCAS opens first on the 1st of September, 2026. ANAB's first published milestone is a transition training event on the 12th of October. SCC, NATA, A2LA, IAS have not published transition policies at all yet. So the honest question is not, should I apply against 2026 right now? The honest question is, what do you do with the gap? The article is very clear about it. You do not sit on your hands. You prepare. Next section, how you actually get accredited. The article lays out 6 things that have to be in place before you submit an application. Not aspirational. Actually done. 1. A defined inspection scope and methods in the schedule format your accreditor uses. 2. Your independent status formally declared, type A or type non-A under the new edition with the safeguards documented. 3. A quality management system in place. You choose option A, building directly to clause 8 of the standard, or option B, an ISO 9001 system that demonstrably also meets the 17020 requirements. 4. A personnel competence framework with an authorization matrix mapping each inspector to each method. 5. Calibrated equipment with traceability records where you use measurement equipment. And 6. The one that trips people up, at least 3 months of operating records under the documented system. 3 months. That is not a published accreditor requirement. It is a practitioner heuristic. And the article explains exactly why it matters. A body submits to UKS or ANAB with a polished quality manual, complete procedures, beautiful forms, and 0 completed inspections under the system. The assessor shows up. The witness phase has nothing to witness. Assessment gets marked premature. Body restarts 4 to 6 months later. Pays the witness day rate again. The lesson is simple. Wait 3 months before you apply. It is always cheaper than failing the witness. The article also clears up a common confusion. The 17020 assessment is one integrated assessment, not 2 stages. People mix it up with 17021 certification body accreditation. They are different. Inspection bodies get one integrated initial assessment with both office and witness components. End-to-end timeline, 12 to 18 months from a near zero start. Next, what it really costs. The article breaks it into 3 buckets: the standard itself, the accreditor fees, and the internal cost. The third bucket, internal cost, is the one every other cost article skips entirely. It is also the biggest one, the standard. 155 Swiss francs from the IEC web store. ANSI sells it in the USA, BSI in the UK, SAI Global in Australia. Accreditor fees. Only UKAS publishes a verified worked figure, roughly £6,000 to £9,000 for a small single-scope inspection body's initial assessment. For ANAB in the USA, practitioner ranges run $16,000 to $28,000. A 2LA, comparable to ANAB, SCC in Canada, $14,000 to $22,000 Canadian dollars. NADA in Australia, $16,000 to $28,000 Australian dollars. A line from the article worth repeating. Anyone telling you a precise ANAB or NADA figure for your specific case is either quoting from a real engagement they ran, in which case the number is contextual, or they are guessing. Get the bespoke quote in writing. Now the hidden cost. Internal person days. For a 25 to 30 person inspection bodybuilding from near zero, 15 to 25 person days for gap analysis, 40 to 60 person days for documentation build, the single biggest line item, 50 to 80 person days for training across the body, 5 to 10 for the first internal audit, 2 to 3 for management review, 10 to 15 for assessor support and findings closeout. Add it up, 120 to 190 person days. At $80 an hour fully loaded, that is $77,000 to $122,000 of internal labor, on top of the accreditor fee. The article is blunt about this. The decision that actually moves the budget is not which accreditor you pick. It is whether you absorb that load with existing staff, hire consultants, or buy pre-built documentation. Quick break before we get into the changes in the 2026 edition. QSE Academy has built a solution to this exact problem. Our ISO IEC 17020 2026 documentation kit compresses that 40 to 60 day documentation phase down to 10 to 15 days. You get the quality manual, the procedures aligned to the 2026 edition clauses, all the forms, and the 2012 to 2026 crosswalk if you are transitioning. $789, one-time payment. The math is straightforward. 45 days of internal labor saved at $80 an hour, fully loaded, is around $28,800 of internal time freed. The kit pays itself back many times over on the documentation phase alone. Link is in the show notes. What the 2026 edition actually changes. The article identifies four shifts that matter operationally, and it makes an important point up front. The standard is not a teardown. The clause structure is recognizably the same as 2012. 70 to 80% of what you built carries over substantially unchanged. But four specific shifts will affect what your assessor looks at. Shift 1, Type A and Type Non-A reclassification. Every Type B and Type C body under 2012 has to formally reclassify under the new Annex A framework. For bodies with strong segregation since 2012, this is largely confirmatory. For bodies with looser separation than they realized, this is the work that uncovers gaps. Shift 2, the most operationally novel one. New Clause 7.5 on data and information control. The 2012 standard required inspection records to be safeguarded. The 2026 edition has a dedicated clause addressing software validation, data integrity, and security. Your assessor will now ask for the validation record for your inspection management software, the change control record for any updates since validation, the security controls, access controls, audit logs, backups, encryption at rest where applicable, and the system failure log with the procedure for handling failures when they occur. The article points to the ransomware incidents that hit the TIC sector in 2021 and 2022. Bureau Veritas detected a cyber attack in November 2021, took servers offline as a preventive measure. That is the world clause 7.5 was written for. These risks are now operational, not theoretical. Shift 3, strengthened impartiality. Clause 4.1 has 7 subclauses now, more granular than before, with explicit requirements to monitor activities and relationships for impartiality threats on an ongoing basis. One of the categories the standard now lists explicitly, the payment of sales commissions or other inducements for client referrals. Shift 4, the technology clause. Clause 6.2.9 is the first time ISO IEC 17020 has explicitly named artificial intelligence, augmented reality, and remote inspection techniques in normative text. The clause is technology agnostic in its requirements. AI gets treated structurally the same as any piece of equipment requiring validation, security, and maintenance. But the explicit naming is a signal. The major TIC firms, Intertech, SGS, Bureau Veritas, DECRA, 2V Sud, 2V Rhineland, DNV, UL. They have all been embedding AI and remote inspection technology into their workflows. The 2026 standard provides the conformity assessment framework these technologies now have to be validated against. Next, how you keep it. And this is where the article stands out, because most published articles stop at, you got it. That is where the work starts. Accreditation is a continuing competence claim, not a certificate you hang on the wall. ISO IEC 17011, the standard that governs accreditation bodies themselves, caps the cycle at a maximum of 5 years. UKAS runs a 4-year cycle. First surveillance at 6 months, unusual, but UKAS goes shorter early on specifically to catch implementation issues. Then annual surveillance in years 2 and 3. Then full reassessment in year 4. ANAB runs 2 to 5 years depending on the program. SCC and NATA, similar structures. What does the surveillance assessor actually check? A sample of inspections performed since the last visit, internal audit completion and findings closure. And a point worth noting from the article, an internal audit program that consistently raises no findings is treated as a warning sign, not a positive signal. It suggests the audit is not searching hard enough. Management review completion, personnel competence records, complaints and appeals log, witness audits, typically 1 to 3 per surveillance visit. What suspends accreditation? Failure to close major non-conformities within the timeline. A complaint that exposes a systemic problem. Loss of key competent personnel without replacement. Material change to your legal entity that you did not notify. Failure to participate in surveillance. The article makes one final point in this section that is worth ending on. The grant of accreditation is when most bodies lower their investment in the maintenance function. That is exactly the wrong moment. Every loss pattern gets caught and fixed at zero cost by a competent quality manager with adequate time and adequate standing in the organization. To bring this in for a landing, 6 things to remember from this article. 1, the standard is real, the deadline is real, but the assessment window is closed until at least September 2026. UKAS first, then ANAB in October, then the others. 2, do not apply against the 2012 edition right now. You would be paying for an accreditation you would need to transition out of within 18 months. Wait for your accreditor's 2026 window. Use the gap to prepare. 3. The 4 shifts that matter are type reclassification, the new data and information control clause, strengthened impartiality monitoring, and the technology clause that now explicitly names AI, augmented reality, and remote inspection. 4. Accreditor fees are visible, but internal cost is bigger. 120 to 190 person days for a small bodybuilding from near zero. $77,000 to $122,000 in internal labor at fully loaded rates. 5. 3 months of operating records before you apply. Not optional in practice, regardless of what the accreditor's official documentation says. 6. The grant is not the finish line. It is the start of a 4 to 5 year cycle of surveillance and reassessment. Resource the maintenance function. Everybody that has lost accreditation, cut that function first. 2 resources from QSE Academy if you want to act on any of this. First, the one mentioned earlier. The ISO IEC 17020 2026 Documentation Kit, $789. Quality manual, mandatory procedures aligned to the new clauses, forms, the Type A and Type Non-A reclassification framework, the new Clause 7.5 Data and Information Control Procedure, the Strengthened Impartiality Threat Register, the Clause 6.2.9 Technology Validation Procedure, 4 market accreditor variants for the USA, UK, Canada, and Australia, and the 2012 to 2026 crosswalk if you are transitioning. Second, if you already have a working management system and you only need the transition tooling, the ISO IEC 17020 2026 Transition Checklists Bundle, $299. Gap analysis, readiness self-assessment, document requirements matrix, implementation tracker. Both links are in the show notes. That is it for today's episode of the QSE Academy podcast. If you found this useful, share it with the quality manager or the inspection body founder in your network who needs to hear it. Subscribe so you do not miss the next one. Until next time.